This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are joined online by Julius Mushapilo, of course, who is the CEO. Good evening, Julius, and welcome to the show, sir.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners as well.
Sure, and you know, of course, we're talking about the state of governance, and of course, Eskom can't escape that conversation as well, right? In just the context of governance failures there. But really, I think just understanding the CGI report, Buti, just walk us through around kind of what is it, what does it aim to do, etc.
Yes, no, thank you very much. The CGI report really is an initiative from the Institute of Internal Auditors, and we go into the organizations and ask the chief audit executives. I mean, they are the people that have got a best eye view of the entire organization. And we ask them in six areas in terms of ethics, compliance, leadership, performance, operational risk, external risk and assurance, for them to tell us how they think their organization is faring. And for context, chief audit executives are the internal auditor, the heads of internal audits in the organizations that are responsible for auditing all divisions. So their view about an organization is actually as true as anybody can be, because they are able to see all parts of the organization and they remain objective in the organization. So they have a much better and objective view that we can rely on to assess the state of governance in organizations.
And also just the audit function in general has come under pressure as well. Mostly the external audit function, but certainly I think it's an interesting one as well to see how the guys are pushing through, notwithstanding the pressure that is coming through, and really I think stress testing the efficacy and the quality of the audit, the outcomes that we are getting. And maybe coming from this then, Corporate Governance Index, Buti, what are the highlights that are coming through from this print?
Sure. I think a very important one, just to thank the University of Pretoria, who have partners with us. You can imagine the amount of data that we had to go through, and they've done a lot of analysis on this work. But what we came out with is that we've been tracking this number, and we have an index that we use. And the good news is that the index has actually improved compared to our previous one that we had in 2019. And the key things that come out, and I think these are some things, like you're saying, we can't ignore. Cybersecurity remains to be one of the critical issues that CAEs believe organizations are going to struggle with. And a typical one that might concern the topic you came up with is an area of political influence. You know, the CAEs have identified that, especially in public sector, political influence remains a high risk to our ability to deliver effective governance. I think we know about how board members are appointed in public sector. For example, in municipalities where audit committees are appointed by the municipal manager, it does. The political interference still remains a high risk. And the issue you've just mentioned now around fraud and the responsibilities of auditors to detect fraud and mismanagement. Even if the external auditors would say it's not our primary mandate, it's a secondary mandate, but there's still an expectation that if you're going to examine somebody's books, if there's something of significance that relates to fraud, you should be able to detect it. And as internal auditors, we do not get away unscathed. We are also asked the same question to say, how have you existed in an organization where after the state capture commission, things like this come out, but also organizations like Eskom, a service delivery is not happening, but we are in those organizations. So I think no one really has escaped the challenges that face governance in South Africa. But those are the three main issues that come up in our report.
And I mean, one of the things that is coming through as well in the dimensions that are in the barometer is assurance. And I think assurance comes into particularly some of these things as well, and just making sure that we risk and we stress test the things that we're reporting on, etc. That's an interesting one, given also the developments that are happening with other things like, especially, I mean, it's still happening mostly globally, by greenwashing and all of these things that are going to continue being particularly putting a pressure on the reporting function of enterprises and quality of reporting as well.
Yes, no, definitely. I think assurance becomes very important in the age that we live in, because, you know, with so much information being available out there, it's very difficult to know what to trust. And there is also a malicious compliance mentality that can be applied by organizations, because they know the fact that we are so keen on non-financial indicators that are very difficult to assure might put a risk on us of having information that is less than reliable. And organizations could use that information more as marketing data rather than as reporting data to the audience. And then it means internal auditors and external auditors need to elevate themselves to be able to start performing assurance functions on these non-financial areas. In the industry, there's a lot of talk about ESG. There's a lot of talk about non-financial indicators. And that is the big challenge that is facing auditors, I think, in this day and age.
Yeah, and I mean, another challenge, and I mean, you did touch on it, but I'd like to double click on it, is the cybersecurity issue, right? I mean, everyone is struggling with it, from massive organizations, data breaches and all of these things, malware and all of those things. How is, I guess, the internal audit function starting to think about also putting their own controls, their own tools, investing in their own technologies to be able to support, I guess, the optimal functioning of an organization through the audit function itself?
Yeah, no, that's a very critical one. And I think, one, it has remained a concern for over many years now. It's continuously staying on the top of the list of concerns, because there's a lot of threats, you know, now in terms of the scale and complexity of organizations. We now have a lot of remote working in many organizations. So it means you have got so many access points to an organization than the ones you had when everyone was based at the office. Even internal auditors are working remotely to do their work. So there is a need to fast track the education of the whole organization about the cybersecurity risks that are presented. It was easy before to say to people, please lock the door when you get out of the office. But that was physical. How do you lock your computer when you leave the computer? I mean, we still have people that will leave their computer open and go somewhere and then for an hour and then come back. So those are the kind of things. So we're still at a very basic level in certain organizations. But in other organizations like the financial services sector, internal auditors there need to really upskill themselves to start applying things like artificial intelligence, robotics into their audit processes to align to the risk that is presented from a cybersecurity point of view.
But I mean, are you seeing the investment coming in through the use of, IoT type based solutions, AI based solutions as well, to be able to, detect? And as you said, there is the fraud component, which is a big risk, but now also this ties into the cyber risk as well. And digitization and digital transformation in general is becoming a massive, enabler for these threats to continue being pervasive.
Yes, no, we're getting a very, very good pickup in the industry around elevating the knowledge and the tools that are used. We even have instances where we have been approached by organizations to say, yeah, this robot looks like it's an internal auditor that should be a member. So we might find ourselves as an institute at a time where we have to register a robot as a member, because they've created so much automation and have used a lot of artificial intelligence in picking up issues that are happening in the system. Because if we think about the volume of transactions in a bank or a retail institution, it is humanly impossible for an internal auditor to be able to see all that. So I think as an industry, we need to start appreciating the need that some of the tools that are used, we might need as an institute to start regulating even those tools that are being used,
sure,
so that we ensure that they pick up the issues throughout the value chain of an organization.
And at the sectoral level, I mean, agriculture, mining, they're very compliance-based in general, so interesting to see improvements coming through there, but also defense, wholesale, and retail sectors as well.
Yes, yeah, and those are industries that we're very happy to see that kind of improvement. I think the challenge is that these are very critical industries. We would want to also see many other industries following, especially the primary industries that become lead indicators like education, like health, all those like public service, because they are more or less the lead indicators that without them, the rest of the value chain suffers.
Yeah.
So we do commend the agriculture, the defense and mining, but as you can look at them, some of them are more lag than the lead that enable the economy to thrive. So we would like to see more improvements in governance in those industries and those departments that are leading, like health and education as well.
And what's the split in terms of, I guess, the surveyed participants between public service and private service, private sector?
So this is a survey that has been really led by the public sector, where about 58% of the respondents being from the public sector and just 40% being from the private sector. And that really has not been bad, because there was a slight decrease in the private sector, sorry, from 40% to 35% in the current year. And in the next round, we really would like to up the participation in private sector so that those top emerging risks are not skewed towards the public sector environment. Because if you look at issues like political interference, it's probably making it right to the top of the list, because you've got a higher percentage of the respondents being from the public sector.
Sure, certainly, Pudi. And I think it's such a nice textured report in the way in which it can give you forward-looking thinking as well around where to, invest as an organization, but also to be aware of maybe some of the blind spots from your own functions as well, internal audit functions that you may not actually be thinking about right now. So well done on this report, and certainly looking forward to chatting to you again when the next one comes out.
No, thank you very much. And then we really want to again thank those that have engaged with the report, and we look forward to more engagements with stakeholders to unpack it further.
100%. Power listener, that was Pudi Julius Mushapilo, who is the CEO of the Institute of Internal Auditors South Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.